You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll lighten the mood a little bit later on. He played Kevin on The Office. Brian Baumgartner will join us. Got a podcast, The Oral History of The Office. And we will ask the tough questions, such as, did Jim wear a hairpiece during one of the seasons of The Office? At least sources close to me say that is true. Washington Redskins owner Daniel Snyder provided no statement, declined several interview requests from the Washington Post in connection with the story of 15 former female employees who alleged that they were the victims of sexual harassment while working for the team that Snyder owns. Instead, all the comments have come from head coach Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera just got there. He should not be at the forefront, the voice of the Washington Redskins. He's been there less than 6 months. He coaches a football team and will have a hard time doing just that. He doesn't run human resources here. I don't know if Daniel Snyder says anything. The owners will meet virtually today to discuss rules for training camp. And I guess there's a chance that the issue will be addressed in that session. But I'd love to be able to be a fly on the wall when the commissioner brings it up. How do you bring it up? You can't bring it up to the owners. I think you have to bring that up privately with Daniel Snyder. And I'm going to guess that you have radio silence through the weekend with the NFL and the owner, the Washington Redskins. Yeah, McLevin.
The NFL also has this big thing going on. I mean, how are they going to settle with the NFLPA in 2 days? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's another thing that has been lost on a lot of people. We assume the NFL will play football. They're debating right now if there's any preseason games. The players don't want any preseason games, and they want testing every single day. We haven't even figured that out yet, and they've had months to figure this out, and they still have some time here. But the rookies are showing up on Monday, and you don't have safety precautions put in place with all of these teams. And now you have some of these star players basically saying, wait a minute, what are we doing here? All of these weeks, we kept saying, hey, NFL's got time. College football, they got the benefit of time. They don't have time on their side anymore. It's here. It's here for baseball. It's here for basketball. And football is just starting with their rookie camp. And then college football, you're trying to get players to be able to practice together. Can you do that? I have serious doubts about it. But we've seen progress. But the question is, are people going to abide by the rules so you have those safety precautions put in place and you have people willing to abide by them? That's really the key here, if you're going to have it. And I have serious doubts that college football and pro football start on time. Baseball, maybe they figured it out. NBA has done the best because they have the opportunity to be able to have everybody in one place and you could monitor them. And you have far less people involved in this. You know, with college football, just do the numbers of, let's say a team has 90 players on the roster. You could have walk-ons. You know, maybe you have a little bit more than that. All the people involved in the football team. So let's say you have 150 people with each school. And just do the numbers of the Power Five conferences. You got thousands and thousands of tests that have to be available. And then if you test positive, they're saying you're going to miss 2 weeks of action. So you can miss 2 weeks of the regular season. The odds are not in their favor. The math is not in their favor. And following safety protocol, not in their favor. And you don't have time on your side any longer. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Tiger Woods, back yesterday in Columbus at Jack Nicklaus's tournament, the Memorial. And the last time we saw him was Tiger, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning in that challenge. And at the time when I was watching Tiger, everybody was watching Tom Brady, you know, hit it right and left and made a mess of it. Manning was sneaky good. Phil tried to give a tutorial with every shot he was taking. Tiger just hit shots. Had a little bit of commentary, but I was noticing, focused, fixated on Tiger, his ability to hit the shot that he wanted to hit. And it was very repetitious. It felt like he was in a good rhythm there, but that's the last time we saw him play. Now, you know, you're out there with Bryson DeChambeau, who has become the face of the tour, and he's out driving everybody. Just the way Tiger did a decade ago, or 2 decades ago. But Tiger was winning. DeChambeau is hitting the ball 400 yards. And golf's unpredictable. We know that. And I don't know if Tiger or DeChambeau will be there on Sunday, but just having Tiger in the tournament makes it different, special. And maybe it's a preview of the major tournaments that we hope to have the rest of this year. But Tiger yesterday, 1 under par. That's fine. Just get out there. Try to get that rhythm back. But I do want to see Tiger and DeChambeau together. Because you had Tiger with Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy yesterday. But Tiger, if he could get paired with Bryson DeChambeau, that would be fun. Because when they played a practice round, I'm told that DeChambeau, when he hit a not a great drive, was 15 yards past Tiger. When he hit a great drive, he was 50 yards past Tiger Woods. And it's not like Tiger's, you know, hitting it on the senior tour here. Like, he can still move it out there a little bit, but it'd be fun to see. But Bryson DeChambeau, he is he's turning these golf courses upside down. But only from the standpoint of how far he hits it. I want to see if he scores. Because if he does that, then you're going to really get people's attention. But if he continues to hit it 350, 400 yards, and he's, you know, 2 under par, okay. But if he ever figures out how to chip and how to putt, then all of a sudden that's going to change the game. He'll change the game. He'll change the golf ball in the game of golf. Because they're going to have to get to that point. Something Jack Nicklaus has been saying for 43 years. Yeah, remember when they Tiger-proofed Augusta years ago, and Charles Barkley came on the show and, you know, said that you know, it was wrong. You can't be doing that to Tiger. And I said, Charles, do you know they did that to Jack Nicklaus in the early 60s? And he didn't know it. Because we assumed that, hey, golf started when Tiger Woods started playing. It didn't work when they did that to Jack. They Tiger-proofed Augusta because Jack hit it farther than everybody else. And Jack has been saying, you got to change the golf ball. If you change the golf ball, and I truly believe, and I have no sources with the Masters, I truly believe the Masters might lead the charge, that they come up with their Masters golf ball, and you have to abide by our specs. If it's Nike, if it's going to be Callaway, if it's TaylorMade, it's Titleist, these are the specs we want for that golf ball. Because having played Augusta, there are certain holes that can't be lengthened. And this is what we keep doing. We'll have a. I remember playing a golf course would be 7,000 yards. Now they'll do 7,500 yards and not even think about it, because the technology and the golf ball, they just make it longer. And I never understood that. If I really wanted to penalize Tiger Woods, I'm not going to make it longer, but I'm certainly going to make it tighter. And any of these long hitters, that's when you really want to see. I want more golfers involved that are actually golfers, not somebody just who hits bombs. I love watching it, but this is the problem we have with baseball. Baseball is about hitting bombs. It's not about anything else. It's hitting bombs. Golf has become about hitting bombs. Tennis is about hitting bombs. And that's the problem I have with these sports. There's no other movement. They're not volleying that much. In golf, are you good around the greens? How many people can, you know, be involved in these tournaments, be competitive when it's all about distance? Baseball, it's all about hitting home runs. Nobody cares if you bat, you know, 325 and you hit, you know, 19 home runs. That's pedestrian. We want you hitting 275 and hitting 42 home runs. Strike out 180 times. Who cares? You want movement in sports. Tennis doesn't have it. Golf is just get up there and swing hard. And I would still like to see the shot making come back. And baseball has no movement either, if you watch a game. It's pretty stationary. Yeah, Paul.
Bryson DeChambeau, I guess he put on about 20 pounds over the past
maybe more
year. He's listed at 6'1", 240.
Yeah.
You see a lot of muscular guys who can't hit a golf ball. Is muscularity important to distance while hitting a golf ball? I mean, traditional weightlifter muscles.
Well, look at Brooks Koepka. He's a weightlifter. Dustin Johnson's an athlete. Dustin Johnson is a pure athlete out there. DeChambeau put on like 30 pounds, I guess, and he works out, so it's muscle. Like there are guys who are big. John Daly's big, but he's, you know, not muscular. You know, it's weird. You can be 5'8" and in 150 pounds and hit it. Justin Thomas is not big at all. He's small. So golf is about lag. It's about, you know, everything coming together at the right time and having the science down. Bryson DeChambeau basically, you know, treated this like it's rocket science. He's got a driver. You know, normally your driver is like 9 or 9.5 or 10. His is, I think, 5.5. And his clubs are all the same size. So everything about this is science. But if you're putting on 40 pounds in 2 years, and you watch DeChambeau, when he swings as hard as he can possibly. Like, you think his arm's going to fall off one day. Or a back injury here. Because that was always the concern about Tiger, is he would post on his left leg. And I kept thinking, at some point, that knee cannot take that much torque. And it proved to be true, his back and his knee. It's just, that's why when you see guys who have, like Louis Oosthuizen has the most effortless swing, Ernie Els, like those guys can play golf for the rest of their lives. Although Ernie's had some health issues. You know, Freddie Couples, I think the heaviest thing he lifted was a beer. And Freddie has a wonderful swing, but he has back issues as well. But I remember Tiger back in the early 90s, and I said, I don't know if that swing can hold up. Just, you know, the physical, like the laws of gravity or geometry, trigonometry, whatever it is, where all the angles there and the force, the sheer force. But when you're hit, ball speed is over 200 miles an hour. We can get on the simulator here, and I can tell you guys swing as hard as you possibly can. And you won't come anywhere near 200 miles an hour on a golf ball. Yeah, Paulie.
By the way, a couple of years ago, I was watching like the PGA Channel or whatever, and I saw a post-match interview with Bryson DeChambeau. I'm like, wait a second, he's American? I assumed he was French with that name. DeChambeau? I just assuming you never heard the guy interviewed before.
He drinks like, you know, 6 shakes, protein shakes a day. It's the calorie intake is incredible. But I do think golf will have to look at this at some point as a business and say, and they may say, look, we love that people are tuning in to watch Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, they may, because I do. I'm watching Bryson DeChambeau to see how far he can hit it. Everybody else I'm watching to see how they play the course. I'm just watching him to see how he hits it. And as we like to say, he leaves nothing in the bag. He is going after it there. All right. So I mentioned we'll have Kevin from the office joining us coming up. A couple of phone calls in here. Let me see. How about Nate in New York? Hey, Nate, what do you have for me today?
DP, third time, long time. How we doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
You were talking about the NFL and how they wanted to get rid of all the preseason games, and I was wondering if they were going to address the issue on the amount of injuries being so astronomical if they actually do go away from having no preseason games, and all the full-time players would be in full-time right off the bat.
Well, there are players who need it the last couple of games. The first couple of games, thanks for the phone call, Nate, you need your free agents and your rookies to get ready. You do need a couple of preseason games. And then your regular players, star players, usually need one tune-up. There is a use for preseason games. The problem is the owners would charge you the same amount of money, or if you were doing season tickets, to get season tickets, you had to sign up for the preseason as well. I didn't appreciate the price gouging there. But I do understand that you do need some preseason games, or at least, you know, scrimmages with other teams. That's what I had said all along. If you have scrimmages there, can you still accomplish what you want to? And I've been told by numerous people, you still want them to run out in front of a crowd, in front, you know, with the lights on you, and it feels like you're on stage. It's bigger because you got to get ready for that moment. But I can't see preseason games this year. Can't. We got 55 days until Texans Chiefs Thursday night. Now that sounds like a lot of time, but understand it's not, because the players are asking Have we thought about these things? And the rookies show up on Monday. Now the players realize they don't have time on their side. And now this is where the Players Association is kind of hitting back at the owners to say, you guys got all of this in ready to go in place? And they don't. James in Virginia is joining us on the program. Hi, James. Thanks for holding. What do you have?
Good morning, brother. Happy Friday. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a lot going on today, man. It's a whole lot. I got to say, man, robes over towels. Robes over towels. And I got to say, it sounds like there's a stat off coming on between McLovin and Ethan, man. Got to have a stat off, sports Jeopardy style,
wow.
For sure.
Okay.
And then to the elephant in the room, man, you know, I'm burgundy and gold through and through, man, but it's very disheartening this morning, man, waking up this morning representing the burgundy and gold, man. I was telling your producer, man, like, you know, maybe not on the field or with football, but Mrs. Snyder has a very prominent voice in the in Washington's organization. And it's very surprising that Mr. Snyder, you know, would allow things to go on in his organization when his wife is such so prevalent inside the building, man. I will say, man, going forward, I am happy that Ron Rivera is there and that he provides a stability, you know, that strong force, you know, of change, you know. And I want to say, man, thank you to those that had the fortitude to step up and to speak out and to force change, man. I mean, you got to have people that are willing to put themselves on the line. So thank you, man. And hopefully going forward, we see something better. And I'll leave you with this lastly, man. I think given all the circumstance, the perfect name for the team going forward is the Phoenix, man. It's a lot of fire and a lot of ash, man. And it's time to rise above it and start anew, man. I hope you all have a great weekend, man. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, James. Thanks. Always good to hear from you. Always hear from James when the topic is the Washington Redskins. Ron Rivera should not be the person who is leading the charge of being the voice of change with the Washington Redskins. This isn't an on-the-field violation. This isn't a critique of the play of the team. He hasn't been there 6 months. He's the guy who says, hey, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to tolerate this. This is a workplace violation. And Daniel Snyder is the one who should be saying something here. And silence speaks volumes here. But when I see that Ron Rivera is speaking out, I acknowledge that. I'm glad he is. But this has nothing to do with Ron Rivera. As they move forward, okay. But it still comes back to an owner who hired these people. He's the one that should be saying something, not Ron Rivera. It's not fair to put him in this situation. Yeah, see.
Would it be weird to just have, say, New York play Boston and Los Angeles play San Diego? And you know, why do the teams, I guess this is sort of a more abstract discussion or something off on a little bit of a side tangent, but why do we need nicknames like that or mascots? Or why do you need the Yankees versus the Red Sox when you could just have New York versus Boston?
But then you have New York Jets, and then you have New York Giants, and then you have the L.A. Chargers, and then the L.A. Rams.
So yeah.
How do you designate L.A. versus...
Like Manchester United versus Manchester City. Same place, just different teams.
Yeah, but one's Man United, one's Man City.
Yeah.
You don't have Los Angeles where... Where's the stadium located by the airport?
Inglewood?
Well, they're both playing in Inglewood. Yeah, so they're even playing in the same. I think move the Chargers back to San Diego, move the Jets to Queens, and then we could do it that way. Yeah, but people love the nickname. They love the mascot. They love, you know, it's the whole, you know, pomp and circumstance, stuff like that. Yes, Todd.
It would be weird for me. Like, you know, I love the logo of the horse with the Broncos. So, you know, I could definitely appreciate, you know, rallying behind your team colors and that name, even though, you know, to Seton's point, it does seem a little ridiculous. Why do you have to call it something that could potentially offend somebody?
We'll take a break here. Brian Baumgartner played Kevin in The Office will join us. We'll try to lighten the mood a little bit here. And more phone calls. We'll try to squeeze those in. It's a Traeger Meat Friday. The Traeger's fired up. I'm being told carnitas. Is that right?
Carnitas tacos.
Carnitas tacos. All right. That sounds good. Anything sounds good today. All right. 20 after the hour. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Callaway has created their most advanced tour ball ever, and it's the ball that changed the ball, the Chrome Soft. They took it apart, completely changed everything again. Callaway knew that there was more performance out there, the Chrome Soft, and they wanted to make sure that they provided the best performing tour ball and made it even better. Callaway invested significantly in their U.S.-based golf facility, Chicopee, Mass. Paulie and Seton took a ride up there last year and put on a display, from what I'm told. The new Chrome Soft delivers an unmatched combination of speed, consistency, spin, and control. It's a ball built for total performance. The new 2020 Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X are available with alignment-enhancing triple-track technology, which is what I use, a yellow golf ball, the Chrome Soft, and the triple-track technology that helps me with my performance. The ball that changed the ball is changing everything. Get your new Chrome Soft or Chrome Soft X golf balls today at CallawayGolf.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Dan Patrick Show brought to you by Mercedes AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com or the Dan Patrick Show app. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes AMG Man Cave, Mercedes AMG Driving Performance. We caught up with Brian Baumgartner. He is the actor Kevin from The Office, host and executive producer of An Oral History of The Office podcast, and you can find that on Spotify. I started the interview by asking Brian, how are you, Brian?
I could not be prouder of myself. Okay, let me be very clear about this. You know, we just finished the American Century Championships up here in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard.
I did hear. You didn't win.
30th place, though, top half of the field with elite athletes all around me. I was very proud of myself.
Okay, who did you play with?
I played, well, the first day they like to put, let's just say, the Jokers together. So I had Larry the Cable Guy and John O'Hurley,
okay,
from Seinfeld. But I made positive numbers every day. The second day I played with Adam Thielen and Aaron Rodgers. And the third day, Mr. Rodgers and AJ Hawk.
How was Aaron Rodgers?
He played great.
I know, but chatting, is he an Office fan?
Well, yeah, we're old friends. We've discussed this before. I met him in 2008, here, I am still in Lake Tahoe, beautiful Lake Tahoe. Mm. I met him at a blackjack table here in 2008. He was a fan of The Office, and I had no clue who he was. Not one clue. This was right before he was the starter. He started in fall of 2008. And so we started talking. I mean, once he said his name, I was like, oh, yeah, the Cal guy. Good luck behind Favre. and we became friends then. And yeah, we've been friends ever since. So it's always fun to come up here and be able to play with him.
Spotify and Brian Baumgartner have teamed up to create a new limited series podcast, An Oral History of The Office. So Brian, host, executive producer. Is there a story that's off limits that pertains to The Office for the podcast?
You mean that I won't tell you, or that we didn't tell in the podcast?
Touchy to deal with. How about that? Is there a sensitive episode of The Office?
Yes. So I'll tell you two things. One is that I lived through this thing. And though my character on the show was not the most intelligent character on the show, I actually was paying attention throughout. And I the business of television and entertainment is interesting to me. So I was paying attention. But listen, I sat down with all of the key assets for this thing. I have over 100 hours of recorded material. Like my drop the mic moment, or, you know, saying is basically Steve Carell didn't talk about the office, hasn't talked about the office for more than 5 minutes since, you know, he was off the show 9 years ago. And we sat down for 3.5 hours and just talked through everything. And I learned myself, because people are like, oh, the office, everybody knows everything. I learned like big, huge, significant things as I was going through this podcast that I think people were too humble or too protective of other people to tell when it was going on.
Like this, what? Like what?
Well, I mean, Dan, I'm not going to give you all of my information, but the office in 2008, there was a writer strike, which I'm sure those of you who remember, it was 100 days. Everything was shut down. And the office had a very significant role in that shutdown. There are stories around what happened there and key people that were involved in the office taking care of our crew who was out of work for 100 days. Stories around that I had never, ever heard. And I think there's a lot of exploration for people who don't know early on. As Dan, I know you know, the show was almost canceled for like the first 2 years. We were dead on arrival. Like, it was not moving forward. And the bold choices, the brave choices that got people fired because they believed in the show, that enabled The Office to continue into seasons 3 through 9, basically. We go through in pretty intricate detail what happened there. And I think it will be interesting for people, particularly the young people now who have become such fans of the show, that think the show just always existed on Netflix, right? Like, people don't realize, like, a lot of the young viewers don't realize, like, what is NBC? Why?
What is that? But how close do you think? Was there a day where you thought, this is it, they're going to cancel?
100%. I was sitting, actually, name drop. I was sitting in a trailer, Steve Carell's trailer, with Steve Carell and Rainn Wilson and myself, the three of us in there. We came back for this. We did 6 episodes in season one, and we were given, the network didn't even tell people we were only given 6 episodes in season two. Like, they were like, oh no, they're coming back. And then they were like, yeah, you can do 6, and then goodbye. We filmed those in the summer, and then we finished before any of them started airing. And we were sitting in the trailer, and Steve said, well, at least we got to do 12. At least we can be proud of doing 12. And we went away, and Angela Kinsey tells a story. She took her nameplate off of her trailer, like, as a memento. She was like, we're never coming back. And then, you know, one of the episodes of the podcast, we go through, like, the episode in the podcast is called A Billion Things Have to Go Right. And every single thing in that second season went right. And at the end of the second season, we won the Emmy. And from there, it was full steam ahead.
It's an oral history of The Office podcast with your host and executive producer, Kevin from The Office, Brian Baumgartner. And you can see it, or listen to it, I should say, on Spotify. But I wonder if the writing changed when you weren't even sure if you were going to be brought back. Like, did it get a little bit more, hey, who cares? Let's take some risk. Did you ever feel that way? Like, you guys started out of the gate with the diversity episode, which, to me, like, that's episode 2, Brian. You usually build up to diversity where you have a little bit of house credit to be able to do that.
You could have worked with me on the podcast. Some of what you just said is the narration, like, of what I say in the podcast. Like, because there are a lot of people who say, you know, in retrospect, oh, The Office started slowly and it built. And I'm like, go look at episode 2 and what was happening. And that episode, Dan, I'll tell you that I remember sitting there in that conference room, which we were in like 14 hours a day that week. And saying, like, man, if people give this show a chance, what we're talking about, people don't talk about this on network television. I mean, we're looking at race in a really frank way. But one of my favorite exchanges to me, which is like, this is so cheap, but like quintessential Office, is Michael Scott turning in Diversity Day and turning to Oscar and saying, in a real genuine way, what is less offensive to call you than Mexican? And Oscar's saying, "What? There's nothing offensive about Mexican." Right, right. But like, what's something less offensive? And to me, that encapsulates it, right? Like, he's trying to do good. He's not misintentioned. And the response from everybody else who's in the room is like, oh, you can't, don't do that. So the message of the show is, you can't do that. You can't say that. But now we're not even allowed to make that joke. Yeah. That's how people are. Like, that's reality. And I think that one of the things that I've found through the show is, you know, we were looking at and talking to Greg Daniels, who created it, and Ken Kwapis, who directed some of the early episodes. They were really looking for an ultra reality, right? And one of the things, this is meta and kind of deep for your listeners, Dan, I'm going to be honest with you about that, but
thank you, Brian.
But I'm a listener. See, that's the joke. that you think we need to make this universal, right? So we need to generalize things, right? Because if the more general you make it, the more people can understand it. But I think what The Office did, and one of the things that has made it endure to today, is everything was ultra specific, like very specific. And that ultimately, my theory is, the more specific you get, actually, the more universal it becomes.
Did John Krasinski wear a wig any of the seasons? He did.
Yes, and this is a new spoiler thing that has come out recently that I always thought, well, didn't everybody know that? It looked ridiculous. He was in, he wore it, he did the movie with Clooney, Leatherheads.
Yeah.
When he did Leatherheads, and they had the short hair because it was a period piece. Don't ask me when exactly, I don't know. But, you know, like, it was, so they had short hair, and he had the, like, floppy do, and where they were like, oh, we can't let Jim not have his sexy floppy do. So they put a wig on him. But I thought it looked ridiculous.
Coming from a guy who looked ridiculous when you wore your hairpiece.
Yeah, I thought it was. I feel like I should bring it back, Dan.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I should bring it
back. And the Kleenex boxes on the feet.
I will tell you, though, the craziest thing is, well, I mean, you know this. I can't walk down the street and not have somebody yell chili at me. Like, that is just a thing. Right. Like, that it's like we did 200 and whatever episodes. That's
how do you not have a chili sponsor like Hormel or something?
Oh, you haven't heard, Dan, let me tell you a little something about Bush's beans.
Oh,
yeah. Check it out.
You're Mr. Bush's beans.
No, I think they have a dog.
They do for that, have a dog.
Yeah, but there was I did a campaign with them right before the pandemic. We did kind of a spoof on it, and I posted it on Twitter. And I don't know, there's now like 30 million views of this. I mean, it just like went crazy.
Oh, hey, I saw where is Billie Eilish on this?
I talked to Billie Eilish during the podcast.
Okay, explain how Billie Eilish ends up on the Office podcast.
Well, so my time frame is a little weird, but like right before you, I think, and me knew who she was, I got approached through my management that this woman, Billie Eilish, wanted to use my voice in one of her songs. She was a big Office fan. And there was a number of the cast that had been approached about this. And I was like, what? I don't know. Then I literally said, well, if Steve says yes, then fine. Like, whatever. Like, I don't know what this is. If you get Carell to say yes, then sure, I'll do it. And so sure enough, like, I don't know, 1 week later, I'm listening to the radio and I'm hearing, I'm like, Billie Eilish, who's Billie Eilish? Oh, yeah, this is the person who's used my voice. So she blew up. One of her songs on her album is called My Strange Addiction. And her strange addiction is The Office. And throughout the song, she uses clips of a number of our voices in her song. She's so great. She's so smart. And yes, she loves the show. She has the show on all the time. And she talked to me about, you know, what the show means to her and why she became such a big fan of the show and why she had to ultimately write a song and use our voices in it. It's crazy.
Congrats on it. I'm not surprised it's a hit. The Oral History of The Office with it's on Spotify with Brian teaming up to create this limited series podcast. I wish you well with it and hope you're doing well. Hopefully we'll see you in person.
I would love that soon, Dan. Be well, be healthy, and yeah, we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks.
The Oral History of The Office podcast available on Spotify. Brian Baumgartner, he played Kevin on The Office. Back with your phone calls, close up shop, what we learn, what's in store next Monday. All of that coming up next year on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Good week. Thanks for the contributions to those in front of the camera and behind. Also, the audience emailing, tweeting, watching, those on chat row. And also special thanks to Ethan, who's done an unbelievable job with our stats. Ethan, backing up what Seton said, in the early days of baseball, teams didn't have official nicknames. Officially, they were the Philadelphia National League Baseball Club. Nicknames evolved because writers came up with unofficial nicknames to spice up their stories, like the Phillies, Dodgers, Redlegs, et cetera. So that's according to Ethan. Ethan also pointed out that Aaron Rodgers did not take part in a single preseason snap a year ago. He was slated to play in the game in Winnipeg versus the Raiders, but the Packers saw the field conditions. They kept him on the sideline. That game was shortened to an 80-yard field goal because the end zone was a mess. Once again, that's just Ethan going above and beyond the call of duty, and we thank him for his contributions here. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick are officially Splitsville. Paulie thinks that means Aaron Rodgers. Now that's when you bet on him to be the MVP. Yes, Paulie.
Kind of sad about this one. Remember we had her in studio? She was backing her guy.
Yeah.
It was a good little thing they had going.
I know. I mentioned that I had heard John Legend do a version of Arcade Fire, and I just heard it yesterday. I don't know if you've ever, do you have it, Seton? Have you heard of this? But John Legend did that Arcade Fire song. But maybe we can look and see if we can find that. Let me see. Jesse in L.A. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, happy Positivity Friday. Great
Thank
show
you.
This week.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, on that topic, this isn't the point of my question, but have you guys heard the David Bowie Arcade Fire performance of that song?
No.
If not, you should look it up. It's great. I think you'd love it. But the reason I call is I wanted to say thank you for saying this in the weekend with some laughter with Brian Baumgartner. He's always great, and it goes a long way with all that's going on. And a few weeks back, you did the same with Bob Uecker. And when you asked him how he was able to stick around the league for so long while being so average, and he responded with the absolute gem of a quote, "Laundry's got to be done." How about that?
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, I'm getting to the point where the last guest on Friday, I want that person to provide some laughs, a little Friday fun, a little levity there. Our Traeger Meat Friday brought to you by Traeger Wood-Fired Grill. Visit your local dealer or head to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show to get started here. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Dan, again, it's a little quiet, but 1994, Brazil won its record fourth World Cup, defeated Italy 3-2 on penalty kicks.
PKs.
Yeah. And the longest hitting streak in baseball history ended when Cleveland Indians pitchers held New York Yankee slugger Joe DiMaggio hitless for the first time in 57 games, 1941.
Yeah, I think the third baseman was Kenny Keltner, and he made a couple of real nice plays.
Buzzkill Keltner.
Yeah, and and then DiMaggio, I think, went on and, like, he had the streak stopped, and I think he went on after that to have an 18-game hitting streak, something crazy like that. And I think maybe Ethan will know, he struck out a total of 13 times that season, and he won the MVP, not Ted Williams, who batted .406. If that were to happen now, you can't do the 60-game season, but if somebody batted .400 or somebody had a 57-game hitting streak, and DiMaggio had great numbers, too, and the Yankees won that year. But I wonder if the person who has a 57-game hitting streak and their team wins, that they would win the MVP over somebody batting 400. Yes, Paul?
I was looking at Joe DiMaggio's stats. He was an all-star every season of his 13-year career. He also missed age 28, 29, and 30 due to military service.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk, right in the prime.
Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind today?
Hey, boys. Happy Friday. Wanted to make a quick Laker point and then a reference to your Cowboy quarterback list. Okay. They're going to miss playoff Rondo, I think, most. You know, they need LeBron. They need that scoring when LeBron's off the court. And then in reference to your Cowboy quarterback list yesterday, I'm listening like I do all the time, long-time listener, and I hear my Uncle Babe's name be mentioned. I got to say, DP, I need a little more respect put on the man's name.
Wait, I said that I remember these names.
Well, you threw him in like the last one, like he's chopped liver. Come on now.
Just the fact that I didn't mention Chad Hutchinson. Thank you, Kyle. Please tell Babe I said hello. Babe Laufenberg. Yeah, once you're a Cowboy quarterback, you just remember, you just tick off all of those names. Who was Quincy Carter? Is he a Cowboy quarterback as well? Yes, McLevin.
There was a small era of Cowboy quarterbacks that didn't. They struggled there for a while. Chad Hutchinson.
I see a statement from Dan Snyder, and I'm up against the clock, but Snyder has addressed this basically. I mean, their words, you know, that's great. But we'll see if there's actions here with Daniel Snyder. But he put out a statement here. Is there anything I need to mention here to be fair to the story, Paulie?
The opening line of a statement from Dan Snyder, the behavior described in the Washington Post has no place in our franchise and society. He talks about a full investigation. We'll do all work to improve policies and procedures in the future. That's the summary of it.
All right. Yeah, McLevin. What?
What helmet are they going to wear when they arrive in 10 days to camp?
I have no idea. Fritzy, what did you learn on today's award-winning program?
Our friend Chris Maddox, who hasn't been outside his hotel room since Sunday, says his room reminds him of his college dorm days. Unmade beds, food all over, no women anywhere to be
McLovin.
Found.
McLovin.
Jim actually did wear a wig in a season of The Office.
Seton O'Connor.
Jim wore a wig.
Yeah. Paulie?
Brian Baumgartner, good golfer, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. What did I learn on today's program?
Billie Eilish, huge fan of The Office, used cast members' voices in her hit song, My Strange Addiction.
And I should have known that since I'm a Billie Eilish fan. What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online, network of independent attorneys. They can provide advice when you need it. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend, everybody. Look forward to talking to you again on Monday here on the Dan Patrick Show.